Today is Tuesday, June 15th. Decky Cease, how are we?
We're doing great, Andy DeSist. Happy to be here, brother. Good to have a podcast between you and me together.
It has been too long. I'm excited to update the people on the wild things that have been occurring over the last couple weeks.
Absolutely. So first and foremost, dude, let's give ourselves a nice little verbal pat on the back here. We just sold out a party called Bocella, formerly called Bocella.
Formerly called Bocella. I think, what is it, 39 days out, we have sold out a boat party that got a cease and desist from Coachella.
Yes.
That's incredible.
Insane. I'm just so stoked. You know, this is year three of throwing this party, and we have never sold it out. And, you know, last year we had the pandemic stuff, so we weren't even going to be able to have a sellout opportunity there. And then obviously the first year, but this year we came in starting ticket promotion in the spring, and it took us roughly 2 months to sell 350 tickets and fill this boat up to its max capacity. Great work, Andrew.
It is a constant legacy rep, which is the coolest thing. Like everyone understands what we're doing now. Year one, we were able to figure out what it is. Year two, we found the right location, and then we just replicated the exact model we had last year. And we had increased capacity with the COVID restrictions last year. And we dialed in marketing 2 months prior. We did not start selling tickets until June 10th of 2020. And the event was August 4th. August 8th. And we sold 210 tickets, I want to say, in that time frame. And this year, in about the same time frame, bumped up, we sold out.
Yep. Insane. Just the coolest thing. And it's so funny, each year there's a different, you know, unexpected thing that happens. So like, you know, you can go through the different years, but like the first year we had to just convince everyone about this thing and let them know, had to basically promote it within 6 weeks. We used earnings from we used $600 from a horse bet that I won the Kentucky Derby. And like, that was kind of the highlight of that, where we went into the final day before throwing our first Bocella down like $1,000, and we thought we came out of that down 250, only losing $250 on the event, which Andrew and I were like stoked about. And then all of a sudden we forgot that we had a damage deposit on the boat for 300, and we made $50 on the first ever Bocella. Second year, obviously with the pandemic, that was the main story, right? How are you going to throw a party with 210, 220 people on a boat safely? And we did that. So that, I would say that was year two. And now year three, building more hype than we ever have before, having us totally dialed in plan better than we ever had before, allowed to promote the headline act of TwinSick for the first time ever, having them dialed in and having a couple sponsors behind us to get the thing off the ground. We finally get ourselves to this point, and we're selling tickets like crazy. And then all of a sudden we get a fancy little letter from Coachella's lawyers telling us to cease and desist.
To stop all usage of the word Bocella and anything with cella. Honestly, like the hair standing up on my arms thinking about it, like it just stunned me from the perspective of like, they found us. They found us. You know, like they got it. They got us. We're busted. We knew this was coming. I did not think it was going to come on year three. I mean, what we were doing with Bocella was not, I mean, they own that. They own cella. They've trademarked cella. And there's wiggle room with certain things. Like, there's potential, like, we could do something and fight against it, but that's not the point. They saw us, and they saw Bocella happening in Stillwater, Minnesota, with 350 people. And the fact that it had that much hype. And I honestly, I only put like $120 worth of ad spend on there. So it was all organic traction. It wasn't like it wasn't my wizardry behind the scenes selling these tickets and bringing this awareness. It was the work that we've put in, just person to person impact. And Coachella was like, all right, guys, we're stopping you here.
Yeah, which, you know, thank you to everyone who has kind of like screamed the fuck yous from the rooftops. Like when we posted the original, like, hey, we got a cease and desist on our Instagram, and we had 50, 60 comments, people like, you know, congratulating us, saying it's the coolest thing ever, which it is. And you had the other people that are like, fuck Coachella, I hate these guys. Like, I can't believe they're coming after the small person, trying to claim damages on Coachella because a couple idiots up in Minnesota decided to throw a spinoff party on a boat. You know, like, there's obvious reasons for that, for to be angry, right? And to be sad, too. I remember having, like, Andrew and I texting and called each other the day it happened. It was sometime early June. And it just, like, it felt like a gut punch. Like, for real, I was just like, dang, like, what are we going to do now? I just remember, like, coming home back to the RV, and I just was like, I got to work out or something because, like, I'm in such a terrible – I just felt like I got a gut punch. But it was all for the better, and, like, the more we got to, like, sit with it and the more we got to kind of play around with this, like, concept that we just got a cease and desist from, like, one of the biggest festivals in the United States, like – That's a good pat on the back to a certain degree.
It's a good pat on the back. Hearing the marketing interns constant, like after I describe what happened or the people that heard that we got the cease and desist from Coachella, the reactions of every single person is priceless. And it's all like just support, like, fuck yeah, guys. Yes. Like, that's what cracks me up. Like, we... And for everything with Coachella, like, we understand we're not here to fight against anything. And if anything comes off wrong, that's not the intention. We totally understand what we did. And it's the reality of the situation. Like, Bochella is the coolest name, and it has the smoothest ring to it. It sucks that we can't use it anymore. We'll find the next name. For now, it's the boat party that got a cease and desist from Coachella. And having that tagline and hearing people like say that to me it's amazing. To think about what the first Bochella event was to now having this tagline it's mind boggling.
It's mind boggling for sure, because it's literally just a party for a couple hours on a boat. It's going to be awesome. Like, we just sold it out. Like, it's going to be kind of the perfect cap. We're going to name, like Andrew said, we're going to stick with the name, the boat party that got a cease and desist from Coachella for the year 2021. It's the only time we're really going to be able to actually name formally Bochella this name. And then next year, so everyone's been asking us, like, well, what's the name of the event for next year? Well, if you're listening to this, Back Pocket is officially announcing a contest. And it will be a contest for whoever can come up with the best name. We're going to create a form online on our website. It'll be in the link of this very podcast. You can click on that form, submit your name, submit the name of what you think the event should be called, and like your email or something. And then we will field hundreds of submissions, and we will look through all the different names that you come up with, and we will pick a winner. Eventually, I'm hoping someone comes up with a good name, right?
Yeah, that's the goal, because our hands are tied right now. We've been throwing names around and they stink. We don't have any great names, so we're calling for the people. We need the people to help us out. And like Dex said, go to the show notes, click on the link, and fill out that form. And you can send in as many submissions as you want. The winner will receive some type of benefit for this event. Right now, we're currently thinking a free ticket, and if you've already bought one, you'll get reimbursed. There's gonna be if we pick your name, there's gonna be something you're gonna be given for next year's event because you picked the name. Maybe something with like a group deal. Hopefully, we get the sponsors incorporated behind you because it'll be an entirely new event. So you're gonna be gifted something huge. There's a lot of things that we're just trying to figure out behind the scenes right now.
Right, and we were just talking off air, Andrew, about like. Because we were like, okay, well, if we do this contest, like, is that going to be the name for this year?
No. But, I mean, like, think about rebranding right now. We have 39 days to the event, and
yeah.
We don't have that manpower. We don't have that capability for a full-on rebrand.
I don't have the mental capacity to tell someone that it's a different name now all of a sudden. I would much rather just stick with our storyline of that we got a cease and desist, and, like, let's just... celebrate that on the boat. I think that's our best way to do it, because I remember writing like the description for the cease and desist, and I was toying with this idea of like, what the fuck are we gonna call it now? Just writing it out of like, yeah, it's the boat party that got a cease and desist. Like, just thinking about like how people would talk to each other about it just made sense.
Yeah, trying to come up with a new name, and then anything that we have with Chella in it right now, which is the funniest thing, Eventbrite just wipes it off of the Eventbrite page.
Yeah,
because Coachella has contacted Eventbrite. So like, we woke up one morning and our flyer that's on there that said Boachella and anything that said Boachella in the description was just wiped off of the page. And then we tried astracizing Chella with the wordage, and that got wiped. And we were like, okay, these guys mean business. We're changing the name.
Right. Well, and we also should do a tad back of background on this, on the whole cease and desist too. So we garnered the attention of Coachella for two different reasons. One, because obviously the party's growing at a rapid pace, and they were the lawyers founded through Instagram and different stuff like that. But the other portion of that was that from last year in 2020, Andrew and I, you know, had a profit margin of whatever. And we spent all the money that we made last year on trademarks of two different things. The first was trademarking Back Pocket, and I believe we're close to getting that one. And then two, we trademarked Boachella. So we literally had hired trademark lawyers to try and get a trademark under Back Pocket's name for Boachella. And it got to the final stages of review, according to our lawyers, and they were like, getting ready to basically, we're getting right at the end of the review period that USPTO has to like say yes or no. And then that's when they got the cease and desist from Coachella. So then Coachella told them, hey, please remove your application and cease and desist all application of the name, blah, blah, blah. So then Andrew and I were like, okay, well, kind of stupid for us to try and trademark Coachella.
Definitely stupid.
I think that
Definitely
was the first
stupid.
Thing we said.
Because it's one thing for them to see us on Instagram and be like, okay, these guys are legit. They're building something very impressive. And there's another thing for us to like take Boachella forever, or at least the time frame of like of how long the trademark lasts. And they're like, right. fuck no.
Yeah. if you guys are wondering how serious we were about the party, we spent a lot of money on trying to get this done. So you right. can look at it as a waste of money, or you can look at it as this opportunity that we put ourselves in. But anyway, so we removed the trademark, but before we removed the trademark application, Andrew and I did some research on, you know, obviously Coachella has been suing people or writing cease and desist to people for years now. We're not the first people to come up with a Coachella themed spinoff party. So we got curious and started looking into kind of past cases. So we found one that's probably one of the most prevalent ones. It happened a couple years ago. It was for an event called Filmchella, and it happened in Indio, California every year around the same time as Coachella. So they were kind of infringing on a bunch of different reasons, and they were drawing in six figures amount of people, hundreds of thousands of people, and they went to court, or we're about to go to court, and the jury found that Coachella's case towards Filmchella was not good enough to claim any sort of damages. So Andrew and I saw this and we were like, oh wow, so we have kind of some legs here. Like, we don't draw enough money in to begin with for Coachella to even care about our party. Like, as much as as cool as it is that we drew all this attention to ourselves with our marketing and word of mouth, a 300 person event in Stillwater, Minnesota has absolutely no reason. There's really no reason why that would have any damages on an event in the Coachella Valley of California. So there's that. So we removed our trademark application and stated our position, which is what I just explained of like, you know, we're going to keep moving on with using the name Boachella. We don't think that we're having any damages on Coachella itself. So, you know, this is where and we've seen that you guys have lost, or in quotes, lost to Filmchella before. So we're just going to continue on. And that pissed them off a lot.
Yeah, they were not happy about that.
They were not happy. So they went after our event.
Hey,
right,
I just want to say,
oh yeah,
I'm stoked we stood up for ourselves. You know, the little guys. We puffed out our chest and we said, okay, guess what? we found this, like, Filmchella, correct me if I'm wrong, but it was happening on the same day as Coachella in Southern California. So literally it was competing against Coachella, and they lost that. So we were like, okay, let's use that as a good basis to defend ourselves. And as the little guy, as someone who firmly believes Coachella is ours, we tried our best, and they were not, they just weren't happy.
They weren't happy. But then we pissed off the Coachella lawyers by stating our position of this and removing our application. That was not good enough for them, because we basically said, please cease and desist. And then we told them, like, no, we're not going to do that. And then, so then they came out, they got smart, and they came after where we actually have our big little pot of money, which is where you guys all bought your tickets, all 350 of you. It's all sitting with a company called Eventbrite, who runs all of our ticket sales. So they came after Eventbrite and said, hey, these bozos are throwing a party that infringes on our trademark. Please, like, don't, you guys don't want any of our smoke. So please take care of this, essentially. And so, like Andrew said, when we woke up one morning and everything was just, anything Coachella or Boatchella related was just removed from the description of the ticket sales. We got a special email from Eventbrite, from like the trust and services portion of their company. They're like a hidden portion of the Eventbrite, which I thought was really cool. We got a nice exclusive email from like a single guy at Eventbrite, and was like, hey, this is what's going on. This is what you guys need to do. And we had to, at that point, we had to, our hand was played, put it that way.
Yep, they smashed us because that's where we want. That's our ticket sales. Like, we're not going elsewhere. Eventbrite rocks. Like, it's such a smooth process. Everything tracking there is awesome, and the information all there is home. That's our home base. So they said, nothing, Chella. And Deck and I texted back and forth a few times, like, damn it. Like, just, like, defeated. Like, it was just kind of just like, ah. Like, this is, like, the last straw of trying to avoid anything, or trying to push Boatchella just from like a marketing standpoint. That was the last ditch effort. Once they said that, then we've ex-nayed Boatchella from all marketing, and are sticking with this, the boat party that got a cease and desist from Coachella.
Right. So at that point, yeah, we basically, that's when we posted the cease and desist letter on our Instagram, and we're like, okay, you know, any publicity is good publicity. Like, let's just really stick to our guns on this one, and let's continue to have this party. And like, and that's like the biggest takeaway is, like, literally all this jargon has no physical change on like how much fun we're about to have on this boat. You know, like, Coachella isn't the fun stopper. They're the fun stopper to a certain degree in terms of what it's called, but it's like, dude, it's not going to change any of the actual things that we're doing on the boat.
Right. We could call it put on your socks and go ride on a river, and people would show up because of what the actual event is itself. Like, the name isn't selling the event and making this thing a blast. It is everyone that's coming, and all of these miscellaneous things that we've pieced together to make this event special. Like, that's my favorite thing about what we do with Events Deck, is we never look at something and be like, oh, that costs too much. We look at stuff in a sense of, all right, what value does this add, and how can we make the money to make this happen? And if those two things align, then we're full send on it. And a great example is with TwinSick this year. They have this incredible stage that is going to be built on the fourth floor, completely open deck. And this is honestly a party enhancer to the max. Like, this thing is going to make the whole event just look like a festival and feel like it's bigger than it actually is because of what the value is. And we're like, okay, this is pricey. This is a little steep for us. And this was like one of those longer conversations that lasted a couple weeks of determining yes or no. And we figured out, okay, we need to find this much sponsors or sell this many tickets. And we can make this happen. And this is a good value add. And that's the conversations that we're having to make this event. It's not the Boatchella name that's going to make this thing special.
Right. Yeah. It's the people within the confines of the party, that make it special, like a TwinSick, and like everybody that's coming to the event, all the like unending support we get, start to finish. It's just funny, like actually having like a pot of money for the first time, I guess, of like operating capital to like make these types of decisions. Because like when we threw it the first couple of years, like we didn't have any like running, we didn't have like money in the bank to just be like, yeah, you know, that'll work for us. Like we can swing this $1,000, $2,000, $3,000 stage. Like we'll, you know, and we were very naive to it too. Like the last couple stages we've had at Bocella, like weren't even stages to be
honest.
There
was no stage. Yeah,
there was
just
no stage.
It was just a roped off section.
Right.
Roped off section piece of the boat. And like to Deck's point, the very first Bocella, and just for context for people that are coming in for the first time hearing what this, like hearing about Back Pocket or whatever, the very first Bocella, 1 year out of school, it was the summer out of school. So this is summer. No, it's a one full year out of school, 2019.
Right, 2019.
And we went to a couple of our buddies, one, our best friend, Investor Steve, and a couple other buddies. And the model that we had was, hey, can you loan us some money to make this happen? And we will pay you back at the end. Because yeah. we just wanted a proof of concept. It's similar to like straight candid method of like, we just needed a foundation and we needed people to believe in us to then do it again. Yep. And, those people bought into us. Investor Steve, Scott Ballard with, Skyline Specs, and Gabe Malinsky with, Never Peak.
Yeah.
And those boys were just like, here's the money, let's make this happen. And they helped us thrive on the Mississippi River on like, it was a similar boat that we used in school. It wasn't anything fancy, but we just needed something. Yep. And then to take that concept and do what we're doing this year and talk about things like the stage, talk about t-shirts with one of our sponsors, potentially the things that we're doing with Freight House and Red Bull, Pedal Pub is jumping on board, selling 350 tickets. Like the possibilities are endless. It's like, where can we just, what's the decision? Where should we put our time and effort? We can literally do anything on this boat.
Right. Yeah. I think it's crazy to, over the years, like showing the proof of concept and how fun it is and how like unique of an event it is that we've created. And not only selling that to the people who obviously want to go, like the patrons themselves, but also like selling it to sponsors. And like that has been an entirely separate avenue of like business that Andrew and I are, again, super naive to, like straight candid in them, just because those girls are total rock stars. Like those girls looped in Manscaped and Bud Light within their first 6 months of podcasting. Andrew and I couldn't even come close to that from the podcast realm of getting sponsors. But like the first thing, implication of a good sponsorship for us was Bocella. Having 6 different sponsors for Bocella last year, and then this year we're going in with like, I think we have 8 or 9 different sponsors, all investing money into us and investing money into the event for the return that, you know, they, if they're on this boat, they have a shared experience and a shared gain, and they believe in the event itself, they believe in us. And I just think that's cool to like have 8 or 9 different companies say, you guys are going to rock this and we want to be a part of it. I just think like that is a total separate avenue of like gratitude and business in general that I think we've never done before. That's paying off and like is again, just a really cool portion of what we're doing right now.
Amen. Amen. I'm going to talk about a few sponsors and you fill in the gaps with the ones that I miss.
Yep.
So I already mentioned Red Bull. They're going to be doing stuff at Freight House, some drink promos. And then what we're trying to nail down on the boat, which should work. We're just communicating with our woman, Amy, at Stillwater. She's our favorite. She's a sweetheart.
Our rock star. She's the owner of the actual boat.
She's the owner of the boat. Her delivery on everything has just been tremendous. So we're trying to give a Red Bull can to every single person that walks on and a couple other different pieces to show. It's a party enhanced with Red Bull. We locked in Pedal Pub this week, and they are offering 10% off of Pedal Pub for every Bocella attendee. And then there's going to be a couple other additional things that we're going to share throughout the next couple weeks. That's Pedal Pub, Unreal. We're working on t-shirts with them. That's the local athletic athleisure company here in Minnesota. And then my two favorite, Embrace North with Luis Leonardo. He's bringing 2 ice buckets onto the boat on the third deck for his company, his fitness gym, Embrace North. And we are going to host an event on July 8th. which is a Thursday night at 7 p.m. And I think our capacity is going to be 60 people. And we're going to post about it. And the first 60 people to sign up that have also purchased a Bochella ticket will be able to attend this event for free. And we're going to get a light workout in and jump in these hot ice baths and sauna. And then we're going to do an additional breath work class with our additional sponsor, the Center of Movement founder, Dr. Matt Wiest.
Right on. So yeah, again, just really cool, unique sponsors and friends, obviously, from all these different companies who all hopped on because they're like, dude, you whatever we do with you and whatever creative thing we decide to come up with, Back Pocket and Bochella, like it's going to be the coolest thing. And we're here to invest and we're here to like make this thing actually happen. And again, just goes back to that same sense of like, we're coming up with the creative ideas. Like we're going to have fucking ice baths on the boat. People can sign up and literally do ice baths at the same time as you're listening to Twin Sick on this boat. Like we're creating these opportunities like crazy and it's just going to enhance the experience altogether. A couple other sponsors that we should definitely mention. One of my personal favorites is Fifth and Baldwin. They're a company that we kind of ran into last year. They sent us like they're a sunglasses apparel, a sunglass company, Speed Shades, out in Toronto, Canada. We've never personally met this company, but I've hopped on a few Zoom calls with them here and there. But ever since I found their Speed Shades last summer, I've just been wearing them every single weekend of my life. And just if you've ever followed me on Instagram, you know what I'm talking about. So these guys caught wind of all of the value that we were giving them. We gave them a ton of value from Bochella last year. They saw it. They were like, everything that you guys provided us from content last year is going on our homepage. Like you guys are our main content source. So like if you go to Fifth and Baldwin or shopbaldwin.com or whatever, I'm literally on the front page from Bochella last year. Like,
yeah, you got to check out. So the mobile version, you are the face of it. It's the photo with you wearing the red Speed Shades, the floral bandana, and your tongue's out with John and Sarah on your chest, which is the funniest thing. And then you go to the desktop version and you can see like the Bochella, the whole shot of Bochella. And there's Ike doing the wiggle dance in the back and a couple of other boys. It's just gold. It's so priceless.
Well, and we'll include that in the show notes. So if you want to actually see that for yourself, like it's honestly the funniest shit ever. And then another one, which brand new company that we're trying to help them launch in a big way. We got two of those this year, which is awesome. The first one is our title sponsor. So Julian Caven, he's a St. Thomas football player and student athlete at St. Thomas, but runs a company called Low Fuel. And Low Fuel is all about, it's going to be like one of the next biggest companies, I think, in terms of like the value they provide. So he's an on-service, on-site fueling service. So it's going to create an app eventually, if you run out of gas or need your boat filled up, need your car filled up, need anything filled up, this guy can drive out to you with his truck and fill you up with gas at a price per gallon. That's actually very, very competitive in comparison to everything else, to everyone else. Right now, like he just got it off the ground, like just launched it. So definitely go give him a follow. And the coolest thing is just how much business he's hustling on Lake Minnetonka right now. He was just raving about that the other week, which I was stoked for him.
Yeah, that's my favorite thing about Julian is, I mean, his constant work ethic and him wanting to align with Bochella strictly to get his name out right off the bat was his intention. So that is our objective. You start looking around for Low Fuel and understand that this kid, Julian, is going to have this next big thing here in the Twin Cities, just simply delivering gas because of his work ethic and his connections already that he's delivering on are pretty impressive. So shout out Julian and thank you for believing in us.
Yep. And then one of our others here, and I hope I'm remembering all of them, but this one for sure, Manpaw Hard Seltzer. It's one of the dopest seltzers in the game right now. Our buddy Kurt Rode just founded the company with one of his other buddies earlier this year. They just launched. They will be having all sorts of Manpaw cases of beer on the boat for everyone to enjoy. 6.9% alcohol by volume. Make sure you get the orange cream. Give that one a try, the orange creamsicle. By far the best seltzer to ever exist. I'm not kidding. It's literally incredibly brewed and tasted Kurt is just crushing it there. He's brewing it out of Pueblo, Colorado, and he's literally shipping like 2,000 cans to Stillwater, Minnesota for the event. So when you're at Freight House or you're on the boat, make sure you're buying some Man Paw. It's delicious.
For man, for woman, for human, Man Paw, 6.9%, the hardest seltzer. I am so happy that we got Man Paw on the boat. I have a case in my refrigerator right now because our man Jimmy drove some down from Pueblo so the boys can get some Man Paw before Boachella. And it's just actually my favorite flavor is Pog.
Pog, okay.
Yeah, that's got it just reminds me of Hawaii. I mean, there's nothing better than having a drink and feel like you're in Hawaii. I mean, sure.
Right.
So those are the sponsors. I think we nailed all of them. I think also that is enough of Boachella. or at least the boat party that got a cease and desist from Coachella. That circles the wagon, a ton of growth. We're going through some trials and tribulations with the name right now. Go to the show notes, hit that link, start sending in your favorite names or any names that you think of, because we'll take any submissions. We're going to run through them and we'll start listing off some of our best or our favorite ones to give you more creative juices. We'll start posting those once they come in. Just take some action. Help us out.
Yeah, help us out, because we're not witty enough to come up with a name, like, for the most part. Like, when Andrew and I first got the cease and desist and we were texting back and forth on, like, what the name should be, we're like, We are not good at this. Like, this isn't it. This is a blatant average quality. Like, we're not good at it. So we're going to need some help. And Andrew, you're the one who came up with this contest. So props to you, man. Hopefully someone can submit something that's worth value here. We're stoked for it. But yeah, I think you're right.
I appreciate the credit. I know Mary's probably listening right now, and she's going to be kicking me if I don't say it. She is the one that put this idea in my ear, and I relayed the message. So thank you,
Got
Mary.
Got it. Sorry. Yeah. And you told me that your sweet, sweet girlfriend gave us this idea. And I forgot as a bad friend to Mary. I definitely did her wrong there. We are now recollecting that. So great point, Andrew. Your sweet, sweet girlfriend came up with this idea. She deserves the credit.
She deserves the credit. Totally. Is that everything with Boachella?
I think that's everything with Boachella. Just like the Straight Canada girls tell us, so, you know, we got to cut the fluff. And I think our fluff meter was like starting to flare up a little bit. So that's a good reason for us to trap the puck and move on to basically our final portion of this podcast. We want to talk about the craziness going around with the Date Night podcast, the Kings and Queens season one. It's going to be dropping here tomorrow. If you're listening on Tuesday, the 15th, on the 16th, Wednesday, June 16th, we will have all 10 episodes of Season 1, Kings and Queens, the Date Night Podcast, will be out for you to watch, listen, subscribe, and completely indulge. This is a new format in terms of releasing 10 episodes of a podcast on a single day. It's new in the sense of we had no idea what we were doing from episode 1, and by episode 10, it's like, we had 200 people fucking show up at a bar to watch people go on dates. It's been a whirlwind. So we're here to basically tell you, please give it a listen. Let us know what you think. We want some feedback. Season 2 is going to be crazy.
Yeah, this was a massive fucking project. This was fucking insane. We've talked about it a handful of times already with like Patrick Hardy, who was on the show, and talking about what the Date Night podcast is. So we don't need to dive into that because we've circled that wagon. You all know the Kings and Queens model, with, you know, the king coming and him having the opportunity to speed date three girls. If he's a gay king, he's the opportunity to speed date the sex that he is into. We set it all up, and we have 10 hour long episodes for you, and I'm gonna have some full disclosure here. Episode 1 is the very first time we tried the Kings and Queens model, and there's so much wrong with it. It is a flawed podcast, but our intention of releasing everything that we've recorded under the Kings and Queens model is to show you the growth. We just talked about how Boachella grew from this thing where we were asking our friends for a loan to now getting a cease and desist from Coachella. We are letting you guys see behind the scenes exactly what and how the Date Night podcast grew. That's the coolest part. We had Mitch Gooley jump on episode 1, and we didn't have the right format from the flow of the podcast. You'll hear it. You'll be kind of confused. Don't give up. Episode two, do not give up on us. Episode two, Madeline comes back from episode one, Queen Madeline. And again, this was, I think, the first time that I felt great about the flow, but I didn't structure it great. I didn't have the pieces plugged in at the right time, and everyone wasn't as comfortable as they obviously grew to become. Episodes three, four, and five, the hair standing up on my arms, really show you what the Date Night podcast is all about. We had King Patrick Hardy, we had Queen, then we had Queen Vanessa, and then King Max, our first gay podcast. And those podcasts really show you the Date Night podcast from a content standpoint, from a energy standpoint, from behind the scenes. You can just feel it. You're now sitting in the room with them on this date. You feel the tension, and everyone is starting to find their role. Episode six, we kind of flopped because there were some COVID related things where a new guy had to step in and he wasn't super comfortable. There were some episode six. That's,
what's his name again? Luke?
Luke Schammel.
Luke,
hey Luke.
Tough outing for Luke.
Tough outing. We appreciate you. Like, thank you so much for hopping on the mics and stepping in, because you allowed Queen Emily to show up and then come back for episode seven, which is my favorite episode. I'm gonna say it right here, right now. Episode seven of the Date Night podcast is my favorite one, and then we finish off episode eight. We bring on, let's see, it was a guy. And it was, Spencer. We bring Spencer on.
Crushed.
And he crushed. That one you need to listen to. And then episode nine is Madeline and 10 with Logan. There's so much good content in there. It is all 10 episodes coming at you at one time. And we're hoping that this new format really just creates a shit ton of buzz for, the launch day. And then until we bring on the new live shows during season two and fall of 2021. All it is just kind of like the Netflix model with like Tiger King. We want there to be drama. We want there to be pizzazz and like different conversations happening. So from a marketing standpoint, this is a new thing we're testing out, and I'm excited just to see how it goes.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, you said it perfectly. You laid out the 10 episodes. Ultimately, we tried to create a bingeable format so that if you listen to episode one, you are hooked from the start and you want to listen all the way through episode 10. Now, did we get you hooked after episode one? Probably not, just because it was our first time ever doing it. So if you're looking for like the true entertainment, it starts in episode two and then really builds between three, four, five, hammers it home in six, seven, and then eight, nine, 10 are just exactly how we are. Those are kind of our cream of the crop. Like, this is exactly how we plan on running the show going forward.
Exactly.
So there's a progression and a bingeable aspect from a production standpoint. And I think that's what you were describing, Andrew, is just like, as we've basically bent over backwards these last couple weeks to produce 10 full podcasts for you guys, it's been fun to like see the growth just from the production standpoint, and like the entertainment along with the production grows as you listen to the episodes. So we just ask that you guys kind of pick around and choose, or we ask obviously to listen to all 10 episodes and let us know what you think, but also just like kind of grow with us as the episodes kind of go along. And it's literally entertaining though. Like, I had so much fun listening to all these episodes, for a variety of different reasons. And it's going to be interesting to see how it gets received, because we've never really done a podcast format like this where we just drop 10 episodes in a row and just say, hey, this is kind of a season. Like, you guys get it all.
Right. This is the first time that we're actually also releasing like a TV show podcast. Like, we've talked about it forever. Podcasting is like the next step for podcasting is having a TV show behind it or some type of video community feel. And so if you're listening to it on Spotify, I always push people to Spotify because we get better metrics on Spotify than when people listen on Apple Podcasts. So go listen on Spotify just for, you know, for our sake. And if you're not listening to it, head to YouTube just to get a feel of how the night looks. We're going to post a ton of different social clips. We are bending. We are a fucking machine from the standpoint of delivering. We're a machine from delivering this content between myself with audio, Marcus jumping in and the full production of the video, and Decky taking on the social piece. Between the three of us, we can literally do any podcast and create any podcast because we have this process dialed. We're editing 10-hour-long podcast in 3-ish weeks, and adding additional pieces throughout, just like miscellaneous things that we keep coming up with. It is so much fun having the creative freedom to deliver on something where the three of us, like Marcus, yourself, and I, aren't on air. Like, we don't do anything. Yeah. But the podcast itself is this entity that we created, and it's just very rewarding to have, regardless of how many listens come out of it. From a creative side, I'm just so proud of the work. It's just one of the coolest feelings.
Yeah, no, it's the coolest thing, man. Like I said, we're a production company, and this is what it feels like to produce something. And this is, again, you know, it's our idea for the show. We love the concept and the idea, start to finish. And it was our job to communicate that and make it entertaining for everyone to listen. So really, like, we're not going to spill too much beans of like what actually happens on the podcast. We're actually going to record a podcast with the host of the show, Taylor Flood, T-Flow, our little sweetheart. We will do a show with her, and we will dive into, probably go episode by episode, and just talk about the crazy shit that happened from week to week on that show, and give you guys kind of a backstory there. But for now, we're really just announcing it. Like, we're kind of glad that the production aspect is done. Same. Now it's time to market it.
So happy.
We're so happy that we don't have to be grinding like we are any longer now that all the episodes are out there. So really, it's just like, if you listen to it, please tell someone about it. Be a good marketing intern. Word of mouth is our biggest asset of growth. Recommend the podcast to someone. If you like a certain episode within the 10, just send them that one right away. And give them a little context, because that's basically our big head up now, is just like getting people to talk about it. We've never marketed it this way, so we're going to rely on you guys, as always.
As always, we're relying on you in many different ways today. We need, you know, a new name for Boatcella, or the boat party that got a cease and desist from Coachella. And we're relying on you to get the word out for the Date Night podcast, and start investing in this new the next Bachelor. It's the Bachelor of the Twin Cities. And I don't know if fucking Bachelors are going to come after us now and say, you know, cease and desist on you guys.
Yeah, we'll see, right? I mean, at this point, anything can happen. But ultimately, I mean, I'm excited as to where we're at. We told everyone at the beginning of this year, hey, we're a production company. And now we're releasing, I mean, we had been running the Straight Candid podcast and producing their podcast, for 4 or 5 months. So that was kind of our first official announcement of like, hey, we can produce your podcast. And they're absolutely crushing it. Now this is kind of our first, idea of where we're taking a production idea for a podcast and bringing it to life. And this is kind of our first real step at that. And I'm just excited to see how it works, man. It was so fun putting it together.
It was incredible. Oh, man. So that's the Boatcella talk. That's the Date Night podcast.
A lot of action items for the interns, I think, is really if you're listening this far, you got a lot of homework and you got a lot of things on your plate. You're probably getting sweaty and just thinking about, man, I got a lot to do right now. Well, it's true. You have a lot to do. And we understand that. And we thank you for your efforts.
Yeah. Throw up the bat signal. We need you now more than ever. You know, what's funny too, is like, I'm trying to like close out this segment and like, and wrap and trap the puck on the Date Night podcast. And I have like 15 other things that I could talk about, but I'm trying to tell myself like, hey, no fluff. You don't need to add any pieces. You gave them the meat.
Give us one of the things that you want to talk about. If you have 15, what's your number one thing you got to talk about?
The number one thing that I want to talk about, the team behind the Date Night podcast, it blew me away from the get-go. The amount of attention to detail that we started with, from who was involved and how we were trying to like figure out how is this going to be entertaining. You know, we were sitting at First Draft, doing the blind date format, doing couples format, and it was just kind of... You know, it was just terrible. And you know, everyone knew it. And like, people were just tired of like showing up. And then Sophie was one that kind of suggested this format. And then we workshopped it and found exactly what we're doing today. And I was just like blown away from how everyone just continued to show up, from Lauren dealing with social media, Marcus taking on the photos, Ben coming for the first 7 to 8 episodes and handling the filming on the back end and then eventually live streaming. Jeremy making sure our partnership was locked in with First Draft. Taylor Flood, T-Flow, consistently showing up and getting better and better each week, having no background in this broadcasting, podcasting, hosting business, but constantly asking, how do I get better and how do I improve at this? And then the amount of fucking people that submitted submissions or recommended friends to come on was insane. It was so cool to have all of those people to work through, to ask, hey, do you want to, can you're available this week, next week? Do you want to be the headliner now? And then everyone following along on Twitch and in the comments, I just get like caught up in the actionable things that we have to do time and time again. But this aspect of like of everyone rallying around it and from the team aspect, from the listenership, was just the coolest thing.
Oh, yeah.
That's amazing. What I wanted to talk about.
Yeah, perfect. So like if you listen to the ending of every episode, we made a personal anecdote. So Andrew and I are big Malcolm Gladwell fans. And one of the coolest things that Malcolm Gladwell does on his podcast is he does like a ending credits, like thank you to my producer, blah, blah, blah. Thank you to my writers. Thank you to my lighting and costume guys. Or thank you to whoever is doing a part of the Malcolm Gladwell team to make the podcast happen. He gives them credit and talks about and like basically highlights them in a credits portion at the very end of the podcast. So we adopted that same mentality and same mindset, and we read off all the different names of the people. Andrew mentioned the majority of them here, but we do that at the end of every podcast. And that to me is the coolest part, because that's the team. Like it wasn't just Andrew and myself doing this. It was a team of like legitimately 10 people who gave their time each week to do this. And so when you listen at the end, pay attention to who is really a part of this and who really put it together, and hit them up and tell them, thanks, man, this was sweet. So that was another aspect of the production that was cool. We got to create a whole production team behind it. And now we created this kind of really cool antidote that maybe would get overlooked by many. But we wanted to verbalize it here of just like our intention behind the ending credits.
Hey, man, dude. All right. I think I got everything off my
I think our palate is full in that sense. It was sweet just recording just you and I again. Good to just have a flow and catch back up here and there. We'll see. Next week we'll have we'll be back in the studio. I'll be flying back to Minneapolis, and Andrew and I will be doing a few podcasts. We mentioned the Taylor Flood, the T-Flow Date Night podcast. We will do that. That'll be an episode. And then we will also have our good buddy Joe Colsey with Team IFA, the Institute for Athletes. And we will talk a little bit about our Adam Thielen podcast that we've been producing for ETS and potentially some other stuff, along with his story at IFA and as a video creator. So we got a lot of fun stuff coming up, not including 4th of July and obviously some other spicy things that we can't say just yet. But there's a lot coming up this summer that we're stoked to kind of just release out to you guys. So stay tuned.
Oh, I love you guys. Thank you for all that you do. And I'm excited for what's to come.
Let's make it happen. Take care.
Take care.
See you in double. Tell the whole squad out the back door, man, I think it's time to huddle. Yeah, we're in trouble. Wrote a pop song, tried to pop off, but I think we popped a bubble. And we run around, but now I know we're tired of the nonsense. All the things we can't control. Really, really messes with a healthy mindset. Are we there yet? Or is this just how it goes? Said it always goes the same way, but I don't believe you. No, I don't, no, I don't. Triple coverage. Had it mapped out, but you spaced out. Man, you didn't see it coming. Yeah. Hold my luggage. About to fly up, holding my cup, looking down and seeing nothing. And we run around, but now I know we're tired of the nonsense. All the things we can't control. Are we there yet? Or is this just
God.
So you wanna play the part game? Said you never, never will change, but I don't believe.